Welcome to the Prancing Horse Podcast. I'm glad you can join us to learn about the history, news, and culture of the world-famous Ferrari. I'm your host, AJ, and I'm so excited to continue our Prancing Horse Podcast with this third news episode. My goal is to share the Prancing Horse culture with not only current, but also future generations to come. This series is going to keep you posted on all that's new, from cars to racing and events. Anyone can Google the word Ferrari, but I wanted to be able to provide you with an insider's perspective. I've been working in the service department of a Ferrari dealership for the last 10 years. So buckle up and let's talk news. In F1 news, to start out, we have the Bahrain Grand Prix, the first race of the year. Charles Leclerc starts in P2 with Max Verstappen in first. Unfortunately, on lap 3, George Russell would make a clean pass on Leclerc, who is now in third. By lap 6, Max would put about 4.5 seconds on Russell. Lap 7, Perez would take third, with Ferrari now fourth and fifth. On lap 11, Sainz would make a nice move on the inside to swap positions for the Tifosi, where Leclerc would quickly switch to the hard tire from the soft shortly after. Lap 11, Sainz would also pit for a set of hard tires, where Leclerc would complain about front locking everywhere. Lap 17, Sainz would make a great pass to go inside of Leclerc. Lap 18, Sainz would get the fastest lap of the race and sitting in third at this point. Lap 47, Leclerc would move to the fourth position, putting Ferrari third and fourth at this point. At the end of the race, the order would be Max Verstappen, Sergio Perez, Carlos Sainz, and Charles Leclerc. Carlos Sainz would join the podium celebration for the Bahrain Grand Prix. Moving to Saudi Arabia, Carlos Sainz would be out due to appendicitis, pulling a driver from F2, Oliver Bearman, in his F1 debut, starting 11th, with Charles Leclerc sitting second and Max Verstappen starting first. With the position, Leclerc would have a slow start, but after a battle with Checo during the first few laps, he would maintain the position. Bearman at lap 2 would show he's not a child and he's brave, keeping the car together during a sketchy pass attempt, Leclerc being second at this point. Lap 4, Perez would take a clean overtake for second, pushing Leclerc to third. Lap 7, Lance Stroll would have a big shunt into the tire barrier, causing a retirement and the safety car, causing chaos in pit lane for everyone, including Leclerc, who would drop down to fifth. Lap 10, Leclerc would have a good battle with Piastri to hold his position. Lap 15, Leclerc would make a clean pass on Hamilton to take fourth. Don't forget, this will be his new teammate next year. Lap 24, Bearman would make a pass to take 9th. Some great racing from the young driver. Lap 27, Leclerc would overtake on the straight for 3rd, taking the position from Piastri. With pit stops, Bearman would find himself 7th with a great pace. Piastri and Hamilton behind him. This kid is really impressive. At the end, Leclerc would end in 3rd place and Bearman in 7th, even finishing in points in his first Formula One race ever. Moving to Australia, Leclerc would start 4th and Sainz 2nd, with Max Verstappen starting 1st. They would hold those positions through the first lap, but lap 2, Sainz would take the lead using DRS, where shortly after, a brake fire would take Verstappen out of the race. Lap 17, Hamilton would have had an engine failure taking him out of the race. By lap 47, even with pit stops and such, Leclerc and Sainz would maintain 1 and 2 for track position. On the last lap, George Russell, while chasing Alonso, would hit the wall and end the race under a virtual safety car, leaving no points for Mercedes, but ending Ferrari with a 1-2 finish. Next, we go to Japan. Sainz would start 4th, and Leclerc would start 8th, with a big crash on the first lap between Albon and Ricciardo would bring out a red flag. With a race restart after a half-hour delay, the field would make it through a few laps without any issues. Leclerc would take P7 from Lewis Hamilton, and by lap 14, Ferrari would be sitting in 3rd and 4th with Sainz leading the Scuderia team, behind Max Verstappen and Sergio Perez. Lap 17, Perez and Sainz would pit for new tires, and shortly after that, so would Max Verstappen, leaving Leclerc in the lead, but of course, a pit stop down. Lap 21, Verstappen would reclaim first from Leclerc, Sainz and Perez moving their way back up the grid. Lap 26, under pressure behind from Perez, Leclerc would run wide and partially off track. He would shortly pit after that. After another pit stop for Verstappen and Perez would have Sainz in the lead until his pit stop strategy brought him in. He would quickly regain fourth position, putting the Scuderia team in third and fourth positions again. Sainz, on lap 46, would overtake Leclerc for third place. The final results would be Verstappen in first, then Perez, Sainz, and then Leclerc to round out the Japanese Grand Prix. This brings us to China. Carlos Sainz would start 7th and then Leclerc 6th, with Perez in 2nd and 1st for Verstappen. With an amazing start from Fernando Alonso taking 2nd place after the lights out, the race looked like it was going to be an amazing race. But with a poor start from both Scuderia Ferrari team drivers, they would soon lose 2 places on the initial lap. Leclerc and Sainz would retake a position from Hülkenberg on lap 2. By lap 8, Alonso would also lose the position back to Perez and Lando Norris. Lap 9, Leclerc would make a wonderful pass on Russell on the outside of turn 3, moving him up to P6. Lap 12, Leclerc would make another pass on the inside of Piastri for P5, and then Alonso pitting, moving Leclerc up to 4th and Sainz to 6th. Lap 16, Red Bull would double stack a pit stop with a 2.1 pit stop time for Verstappen and a 2-second pit stop time for Perez. That was honestly quite a sight to see in modern day F1, double stacking the cars and minimal pit stop time. Lap 21 would see an issue with Valtteri Bottas with an engine failure in the runoff area, and in a pretty dangerous area, if I might add, bringing out a virtual safety car soon to be upgraded to a full safety car, bunching the field up till lap 26 when they would go green again. Unfortunately, Lance Stroll would make heavy contact with the back of Ricciardo on the restart. At this point, after safety cars and pit stops, Leclerc would be in third place and Sainz would be in fifth. Just a few turns later, Kevin Magnussen would have contact with the right rear of Yuki Tsunoda, puncturing his tire and creating another yellow flag, which was quite crazy to see considering the first retirement wasn't until lap 21, and we are now at lap 27 with most of those being under the virtual safety car or a full safety car. We wouldn't get another safety car until lap 32. Lap 39, Perez would make a clean pass on Leclerc for the P3 position. Lap 45, there would be a pit stop that would bring Sainz to 5th with the Tifosi running together, in 4th and 5th until the checkered flag, with Verstappen in 1st, Lando Norris in 2nd, Perez in 3rd, Leclerc in 4th, and Sainz in 5th. Ferrari would announce that at the Miami Grand Prix, the famous red Ferraris will be blue. Side note, this isn't the first time Ferrari has done this. Check out our history episode number 2 for the first time. Hint, it involves the 250 LM. Ferrari would also announce a new multi-year sponsorship with HP, where the team would be named Scuderia Ferrari HP. They will work together towards sustainability and education through technology and sports. HP's technology will also power the PC and conference equipment to turbocharge the equipment that the team uses to keep the wheels going. In hypercar endurance racing, we have the 1,812 kilometers of Qatar, the first race of the season. At the race start, the number 50 Ferrari 499 PS of AF Corsa would take first place after the first corner with the number 51 of AF Corsa in 7th overall. Lap 16, the number 93 would take the number 1 spot from the 499 PS. By the end, after some controversy by the FIA, the number 83 of AF Corsa would finish 4th, the number 85th, and the number 51 would be 11th. At the 6 hours of Imola, we would have a Ferrari 1-2-3 start. What an amazing scene at an amazing track. With a bunch of cars at the back of the field caught up in a rear-end accident, taking multiple cars out on the first lap. After about 1.5 hours in, we would see a clean overtake for 5th place by the number 50, showing its properly quick straight-line speed. At about 2 hours and 10 minutes, in the 51 and 50 of the AF Corsa was sitting in the 1st and 2nd spots overall. By 4 hours in, Ferrari would be sitting at another 1-2-3, with number 50 in front, number 51 in second, and number 83, a privateer team, sitting in P3. As the track turns wet, they would bring the Ferraris in for wet tires. As the rest of the race went on, this time could not be recovered, and the race would end with the podium for the 499P just slipping through its grasps, proving once again that anything can change quickly in endurance racing when there is that much time involved. Still a small victory, as the number 83 car of AF Corsa would be the number one privateer team for the race overall. Moving on to GT Endurance Racing. At the 12 Hours of Sebring, we had a great start from the number 62 Ferrari 296. But shortly after the first few turns, he would spin out into the inside of the track, then back over the racing line sideways, narrowly being missed by all the cars that were there, and it was probably one of the closest calls I have ever seen in racing. At the end of the race, the same number 62 Risi Competizione GT3 would finish second in the GTD Pro class, and the number 47 296 GT3 would take second in GTD. At the 12 Hours of Mugello, the 296 GT3 from Kessel Racing would take the top podium step in the Pro-Am class. At the 6 Hours of Imola, the number 55 296 GT3 secured 4th position after starting 8th, even with the rain complications making a tire strategy a gamble. This week, I also came across a really interesting YouTube channel by a guy named Daniel, who I actually used to go to training with when I was a technician. He has a lot of really interesting Ferrari videos about doing engine-out services, as well as doing some repairs and some other stuff. So the link to his channel will be down below, and I would highly recommend you guys check it out. Thank you so much for joining us today. I hope you enjoyed everything that we talked about. If you haven't already, please make sure you like and subscribe with us on Facebook. Make sure you follow us on Spotify, Apple Podcasts, YouTube, or anywhere where you get your content so that you don't miss anything new. And as always, Forza Ferrari.